Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for our fourth and final member of the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show.
So tonight we do have another very special guest host within our trial period, and he goes by the name of Gemini. So we welcome Gemini to the show. What's up, Gemini?
Hey, how you guys doing? How you guys doing?
Hi, Gemini.
I feel honored because Zach always Z Fly. Always talking about the show and all these fans he got. So for me to be here and share this experience with you guys means a lot to me.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well,
yeah,
we welcome you.
Definitely welcome you. We're glad to have you here.
However,
just tell the listeners a little bit about Gemini. You know, a little bit about yourself. What you do, what you don't, what you like, what you hate. What's up?
Of course I'm a Gemini. So, I was born in June. I'm 21 years old. Going to school in New York for audio engineering. I DJ. I write songs. I like to perform. I like anything media, and I'm pretty down to this kind of dude. I mean, it's pretty much whatever you guys would ask me, what you want to know. I mean, I'm not shy to answer or give my opinion, but I do respect those who give their opinions also. So, that's just a little bit about me. But I guess hopefully, if I become part of your group, you'll guys get to know me even more.
So you heard it live and first from Gemini. So remember, as you're listening to the show, you know, listen to Gemini, how he hosts, because all about y'all, it's all about your opinion or your vote, the way we're going to call it, on who be the next host. So remember to do that. So we're definitely going to go ahead and get into the show. Tonight we do have a great interview by a very artistic person tonight. There's actually Brooklyn has some things going on, has a new theater going on. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. A lot of plays, a lot of music that's coming to Brooklyn in this October to start fall off for you. But before we get into that fun, we're going to talk about the Facebook question. So we definitely want you to call in 646-200-3136. To call in to give your comments on our Facebook question. Now, we do have a lot of comments on our Facebook question, so we're definitely going to read some of those here live on the show, but we definitely love to hear your comments live as well. So 646-200-3136. So the Facebook question is, many women try to trap men by purposely getting pregnant. In such a deceitful act, should it turn into a legal matter against the woman, and should the man be given a choice to keep the baby or not? So that's a Facebook question. So who has that radio back there? Turn it down some. That's the Facebook question. So you guys, what do you think? Okay, once again, many women try to trap men by purposely getting pregnant, okay? And such a deceitful act, should it turn into a legal matter against the woman, and should the man be given a choice to keep it or not? What do y'all think?
Firstly, I'm like, think of how difficult it's going to be to prove that someone purposely got pregnant.
Okay,
how do you prove that?
Well, I don't know. How do you prove that?
Don't even have the imagination to think of how a woman would purposely get pregnant. I guess you'd have to find.
Are you serious?
Like, you'd have to find like an ovulation chart and, direct something leading to you. And, I don't know about that one.
No, I know a real case. A woman, she got off the pill. She purposely got off the pill because she wanted a baby. The guy wasn't ready for a baby, but she didn't tell him that she got the pill, so then they ended up pregnant. So, that's the way that she purposely got pregnant.
That's crazy.
I feel like you're desperate if you need to trap a man to keep someone, because if a man really wants to be a father, he's going to tell you, if he's in love with you, and if he's not in love with you, he's going to tell you, listen, I either see you with a kid or not. I think that everyone needs to have their conversation, no matter, when you're dating, 3 months, 6 months, what are you doing? But to just, and I've seen movies, I've seen things like, oh, I'm on the pill, and and then they just stopped taking the pill. And, oh, I'm so sorry. I
ran
out of pills.
Wow, that's crazy.
And boom, that's not cool.
Wow. You know what? I've never experienced that, and I've heard about it. But it's a child is such a big responsibility to me that I think to myself, it's no one could possibly want to go ahead and just plan an unplanned baby. You know what I
sure
mean? That's what I'm thinking. But obviously, you know, women do this, and I think that when you do it like that and it's proven, I think that there should be some kind of, you know. Something should be done. There should be some kind of punishment for that. And I'm not saying that it has to be strict or anything like that, but I think that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's very irresponsible.
I think it's desperation.
Yeah.
I think it's desperation because if you're trying to trap your man and, you know, he obviously doesn't want it. Hello?
That's
terrible. Like, look at yourself. And on top of that, I remember I took a course. I took a vet course, and, you know, I was in college. I dropped out. For personal reasons, but they were saying that in order to have a child, why don't you own a pet first, whether it's a cat or a dog? And the way you treat your animal is the way you're going to treat your child.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was like a great philosophy right there.
Wait a minute. I actually disagree because, Ms. Jules, you said that you don't think that the punishment should be strict. Why not? Why?
I'm not saying that it has to be the strictest. I mean, punishment can be very strict.
I think it should.
Because
whenever men do things, whenever men have babies that maybe they don't want, the law is very strict on them. They have to pay child support for no till how many years.
No, that's fine. Oh, yeah. But I mean that, like, the judicial system has so many different levels of punishment. And what I'm saying is I don't think it should be punishable by death. You know what I mean?
Not by death,
but I think it should be punishment appropriate to the crime. You know, I think that should be a really serious matter, and it should be taken seriously, but I don't think anybody should be put to death for anything like that. I think it should really, it shouldn't be like rehab. You know what I mean? It should carry some jail time, if you ask me, because that's a life sentence for a child,
big,
isn't it?
No, this is what I think. I think if you think you want to trap a man and you think he's going to say he leaves, Then you need to step up and be a mom. And if you can handle it, then you bring the baby up for adoption. But no one should go to jail for that. Like I said, some girls.
I think that when it comes to like harm to the child, I think then you know it's detrimental to someone because the only victim really is going to be the man and the child, you know, or vice versa. And something like that, a child, you know, brings together so many people, you know, and such a deceitful act like that is going to involve a lot of people. So that's why I think it should be like jail time or something. Because
why is the man the victim when the girl's trapping him? He's not the victim.
Exactly. He's being trapped.
He's trapped.
He's being sought after. You know what I mean? Somebody is plotting against him without him knowing it. She already knows that she's going to get pregnant. You know what I mean? That should be a crime. If you know, you know, if you decide, let me look in the paper. Let me find me a doctor. Let me go ahead and drug him and get myself pregnant because I just want to trap somebody. You know, or, you know, I'm just giving examples.
Well, real quick.
I think
that's detrimental. Real quick. Gemini, what were you trying to say?
I was trying. But okay, the way I see things is even if a woman was trying to trap a guy through that way, just because, you know, someone goes, yeah, you know, I'm pregnant with your baby, it doesn't mean that he's going to be like, oh, you know what, I'm going to stay with you. Because, you know, it's not going to work out that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
he's going to regret
whether,
you. He's gonna hate you forever, and he's gonna be like, damn, I'm stuck. When I don't know if it was Gemini or Z Fly, when you said he has to pay, it reminded me of that song by Gold Digger by Jamie Foxx and Kanye West, because it's like, it's true, you're gonna do this, the girl has to pay, and then you find out that it wasn't even yours the whole time because you're
doing
it.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So honestly, I'm on the guys on this one because, like I said, I'm on the guys team on that one because, like I said, my word is, you're desperate. You want to force to keep, you can't force someone to love you. You can't force someone to stay with you. If they don't want you, they don't want you. That's
and
it. So leave them alone. And the only thing that's even more sad, well, I give props, is that men who didn't even who didn't even have a child are men who are taking responsibility for someone else's kid. I give props to that because I've seen that a lot of times.
Yeah,
hold on, real quick, let me see what the people. Let me see what the people on our Facebook is saying. Okay, so we have one chatter, Jewel Bullock. She said, "Well, how I look at it is this way: if she wanted the baby, well, then she should handle it by herself.
Yes, she did not here.
Yes, she did not include him in her plan, so he should not be included in having to raise the child unless he wants to. That is a dirty way to try and keep a man." If he is not ready for children, that is like pushing him away instead of keeping him. So yeah, that's what you just said. Let me see. I think we have another one. Here's another one. Chadwick Green, I think that it should turn into a legal matter, and the man should be.
I think so.
She should be given the choice to keep the baby or not. He made the baby too. The woman should have to pay for what she did and give the baby to the man. Women should be ashamed of themselves to stoop that low.
Seriously.
Oh, shit. There's some women, like you said, that's what you said. I just can't get desperation. You're desperate. There's plenty of other men out there who probably want your baby, but because you want one man, you're obsessed or stalking this guy. The poor guy's like, this guy's going to put his shoes on and run out the door. And he's going to, like, run to another state and be like, I'm out of here.
That
yeah.
is crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
so what's
crazy.
The next topic, Zach? The Z-Fly, sorry.
Oh, well, no, this is still it. But, no, but, I mean,
okay.
I was trying to get to some more, the
Facebook
is crazy.
Yeah.
Trying to get some more of them, but it is crazy. So it's funny because, like, a lot of people do this. A lot of people do this. And there was one girl, I can't find the name, but there was one girl who said that she knew of this happening a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, that was kind of sad. I mean, it's kind of sad that, you know, she actually knows people who just go out and try to get pregnant, you know, by guys that they like. Here's another comment by Victoria Townsend. She said it probably wouldn't stand in the system because sex is looked at as being consensual between two adults. Other than that, it's rape. And if someone gets preggo on purpose to trap a man, the judge will probably say you should have took on more precautions
mm-hmm.
or not have had
mm-hmm.
sex at all. Either
mm-hmm.
way around it. And as wrong as it may be, no matter what, it's the woman's choice. So I don't know, though. Why is it a woman's choice?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the legal matter should be dealt with the judge. Like, leave him out like
mm-hmm.
that. Listen, you want to go to court? You want me to keep this kid? You want to pay child support? No. Go to court then. But then again,
mm-hmm.
like I said, it costs money. No one has
mm-hmm.
money. Look at the economy now. You know what I mean? And like
yeah.
you said, it's like to own one child alone is just ridiculous. And that's what I'm saying. When people have, like, twins, triplets,
mm-hmm.
like, awesome mom. That's honestly, come on. Like, that was just stupidity to me. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like, awesome
mm-hmm.
mom. Yes, 12 kids, like, really? And you have no one there to help you but your parents? I mean,
I don't know. I just can't. That's why I said jail. You know what I mean? I thought jail just because, you know, I'm not saying that it has to be, you know, the strictest of all penalties because, like I said, our judicial system has a very vast array of punishments. But I think that, you know, if you're that conniving, there's
mm-hmm.
people that are, you know, people that are your victims. This is a plan, and you drew it up by yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and for that,
and, you know,
that,
women,
that needs to
be
punished.
Very manipulative. We can be
very
manipulative.
I just thought
that
needs to be punished.
I met guys, too, that they're like, oh, this girl, we were dating, and then, like, a month later, she's like, I want your baby. And
that's
he's like,
crazy.
What? I'm out of here.
Crazy.
Like, you know what
crazy.
I mean? Like,
bananas.
Exactly. Here's Jessica. Oh, go ahead, Gemini. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that, you know, even it's probably the way I was just brought up or anything like that, but if my girl were to do that for me and I didn't want to be with her anyways, I mean, I would still take care of the child. I can understand the whole desperation and her doing what she had to do just to be with me and everything. But even if I didn't want to be with her, I would at least want to at least raise my son because, you know, at the end of the day, that's my blood right there. And, you know, I don't want, you know, my son or my daughter growing up that way and then people telling them, oh, this, you know what happened, you know why you were born and this and this and that, because then it's going to affect them, you know, and I wouldn't want that. You know, I wouldn't want that to her or
I got a question.
Even to the mom.
Does desperation count as a mental state in court?
That's a good one. I like that.
Because if desperation does count as a mental state in court, and someone can prove that out of desperation they popped holes in a condom so that they can get a baby, by reason of like mental defect or insanity,
mm-hmm.
they can say this is why I did this, So I'm just saying, that's kind of crazy.
You make a good point, Ms. Jules, because it's like, again, I'm obsessed with Boston Legal, and they have said that too. Like, listen, when the girl killed the guy, and they go to your psychiatrist, they go, is it true that she was temporarily insane for 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes later she snapped out? And they go, yeah. Honestly, I think that's BS. You can't just be temporarily insane for 20 minutes or 15 minutes. You're either insane or you're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
like,
I don't know about that.
When
some people do blank out.
In that case, it would work out. Just because that therapist or that psychiatrist said she was insane for those 20 seconds. So the judge is going to be like, okay, I'll take your word for it. But if it was you or me or somebody else, it wouldn't even matter. Because, once it gets to court, it's all about the facts. It's all about what you can prove.
Exactly.
If you can't prove it, then,
how do you prove it?
Well, just not be there.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I said 20 minutes because, it's true. Like I said, they always try to prove something. But, again, I don't know. I believe it's a good question. Is desperation something equals or measures to insanity?
Exactly. If they're crimes of passion, and crimes of passion don't always occur in a forever state. You know what I mean? Some people can actually get schizophrenia later on in life. They don't have to be born with it. So I do believe that, yes, a person can have episodes. They can have psychotic episodes because I had a couple of trips in high school to go see people at the mental institution, the patients, and it is possible for someone to just lose total idea of where they are, who they are, what they're doing while they're standing there. Some people can really go through that. They call it catatonic.
Very, very interesting. But everybody, that was our Facebook question for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely thank you for your comments. And hopefully, it's really something to think about. I love topics like this, whenever, the man is, or the man can be somewhat the victim. People just different opinions or whatever. But tonight we are going to keep the show moving. So coming up after Fresh Off the Plate, because y'all know we got your Fresh Off the Plate, we have a very creative interview with Jason Holtom. He is the co-director, and he's going to tell us what's cooking in Brooklyn. But first, let's get to Fresh Off the Plate, and we have a great interview after the break. All right, so Ms. Jules, what's going on? What's Fresh Off the Plate?
It's that time again, everybody. It's
Ms.
Jules all up in it. It's your weekly dose of juice. So a couple of things happened this weekend. Did you guys catch the Teach Tony Danza show? Can you believe it? Who's the boss? Tony Danza is now a 10th grade high school English teacher. An over-emotional teacher at that. He cries again and again. Okay, so he has to toughen up. Okay, because those kids don't run all over him if they find out he's a softie. You know what I mean? But anyway, what is going on in the world today? On October 1st, Mario, Would You Let Me Love You singer, was arrested in Baltimore for attacking his mom in the apartment that they both live in. Could you believe it? Could you believe it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
His mom. He was arrested because Shantia Hardaway called the police because Mario was throwing things, damaging the property. He pushed her with his forearms and things, and that's messed up. Could you imagine how scared she must have been? This makes me think to myself that that sounds like some kind of drugs or something. I don't know, but this sounds crazy. You know what I mean? That's not healthy at all. Anyway, Saturday afternoon was the grand opening of Lil' Kim's Salon, C'est Soi, which is co-owned by herself and her cousin, Catrice Jones, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the business is said to be a chain of beauty salons, and their pricing is supposed to be regular pricing, like $35 for a perm and stuff like that. So it's supposed to be, value. for, you know, Shishi service. And I love you, Lil Kim. She even looked cute at the grand opening. She looked cute. It looked like she had corrective surgery for her chin and her nose. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but this weekend, E! True Hollywood Story had a countdown of celebrity press, plastic surgery successes and mishaps. And believe it or not, Lil Kim was on it, okay? They dug up pictures of her with a messed up nose job, and they even went as far as to highlight the pinch in the bridge of her nose. And they even discussed her chin implant. Celebrity dumb sucks, okay? Oh, and yeah, Sarah Palin has a stalker, an 18-year-old calling himself the magic enemy, who not only stalked her, but he had the gall to call her best friend, too. Then he bought a gun and sent her the receipt. Now, that's gangster, and that's crazy. That's just crazy. It's crazy. How are you going to go ahead and send somebody the receipt? But anyway, this is Miss Jules, and that's fresh off the plate.
That's what's up. All right, everybody, thank you so much again for tuning in tonight. Y'all know how we do every Monday night. We keep it real hot and fresh. And we definitely have a very fresh interview for you tonight. Tonight, Brooklyn, New York, has a lot of things popping. But one thing that's popping lately is something called the New Black Fest. So we're going to tell you all about what's going on in this New Black Fest. And to help us talk about it tonight, we have a very talented individual by the name of Jason Holton. I hope I'm saying his name right. I would test my name quick. I'm probably not, but he is the co-artistic director, so we definitely want to welcome him to the show right now. So welcome, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. Actually, this is Keith Joseph Atkins. Jason is sick this evening. He's catching a sniffle, so I'm the other co-artistic director. He just called me and said, I can't do it.
Oh, boy. Really? Okay.
But I am equally important and equally can provide you with what you need.
Well, you know what? That's how we do. That's keeping it real.
That's awesome.
So, you know, actually, you know what? I was reading Jason's bio, and then, you know, as I was reading it, me and my other co-host, our eyes got big, our jaws dropped because, you know, we were just reading all the stuff that he did. Actually, since you are equally, tell us a little bit about your bio, because, you know, I will butcher it, I will mess up, I will leave stuff out, and then, you know, I'm serious, you and him have done such amazing things in plays. I don't want nothing to be left out, so give us a little bio about you.
Okay, well, I'm also a playwright. My name is Keith Joseph Atkins, and what can I tell you? I went to the University of Iowa, a playwrights workshop, got an MFA there. And lived in New York City for a minute and did some playwriting and acting. I moved out to Los Angeles to work on a TV show called Girlfriends, and I was there for 4 years as a TV writer. And I came back to New York and, you know, fully armored, wanting to do some theater, and saw kind of how things were not quite the same. A lot of people sort of pulling out of the game because of the lack of opportunities. So I decided with Jason Hoffman and Jocelyn Prince to put together this festival. So I am a playwright / actor / TV writer. And also blog. I used to blog for TheRoot.com.
Oh, wow.
How do you balance it all?
You know, it's called deep hustle.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay.
Define that.
I'm sure you understand this, like when you're in the arts and you're sort of like media arts, the opportunities aren't necessarily 9 to 5, and so you have to figure out a way to keep yourself stimulated creatively and also pay the rent and pay for the groceries, and that requires you to do everything possible. So I just sort of stretch myself in all the areas that I like, because everything's sort of coming out of creativity and writing, so you know, I'm not like writing and then going, you know, driving a bus. Like I'm still
okay.
Writing no matter what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you can do everything.
Can I ask you a question, Keith?
Huh?
Can I ask you a question?
You sure may.
Okay. So who did you brainstorm this idea with? And is this, you know, these plays and what you and Jason are doing? Is it you know, based on your lives? Is it based on other people's lives?
Well, you know, the idea came to us because, like I said, like I moved back from LA and I a lot of my peers who I sort of, you know, was sort of in the theater hustle with were sort of leaving because of the lack of opportunities, either that they were not being able to audition for stuff because, you know, just like either August Wilson or nothing at all. And people were sort of getting frustrated. And so Georgetown University and Arena Stage in D.C. had this big convention, and they invited about 40 or 45 black theater artists down just to talk about the state of affairs in black theater. And a lot of people were sort of having the same complaints. They were like, well, you know, we are all going to grad schools, or we're all been hustling for 5 and 10 years, and there's nothing really to show for the hustle. You know, we're waiting around for these larger institutions to say when it's time to have a black play or a Latino play, and, you know, we may be waiting for the rest of our lives. And so at the festival, Jason Hoffman and Jocelyn Prince and myself all said, you know, why not just do a new black theater festival where we actually celebrate each other and we're not sitting around waiting for the larger institutions to decide when it's important to produce us? Why not just sort of, while we're waiting, because that is sort of the game, and we're all sort of in the American game, and so we will be waiting, but while we wait, instead of, like, getting sad or depressed or, you know, moving, doing something else, how about just sort of doing a festival where we celebrate each other and provide opportunities for each other? So that's sort of like the germ or the inspiration for the festival came about.
And then, and you know what?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I see that it's called the New Black Fest, I guess, for festival. But, you know, I see it's going to be in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. So how was Brooklyn picked as the location to have it?
Well, do you want to know the truth?
Yes, I do. We keep it real. We keep it real.
Yeah, I keep it real. Okay, hot and fresh, right.
That's right.
Well, actually what happened was that we had our first fundraiser happened in Brooklyn because I'm sure you guys know Lynn Nottage. She posed a prize winning play, Ruin, right? And so she invited us to her home in Brooklyn for a fundraiser. And so after her fundraiser, there were several folks from Brooklyn saying, hey, why not just do the festival at one of our venues, like the Brick or 651 Arts or something like that? And so then one of our advisory board members was like, no, you guys got to do it in Harlem because Harlem is where everything is happening, blah, 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 blah. So we spent like 2.5 months in Harlem going from one venue to the other trying to find the right spot. And nothing ever really so material. I think we were sort of too late. We were too late trying to make it happen in Harlem. And so what happened, we just sort of like defaulted back to Brooklyn. But happily so, though. I mean, we're very happy to be in Brooklyn because the Brick Arts, which is where we're doing the festival for the most part, have been very, very, you know, gracious and welcoming. And so we're very, very happy to be there. But we really wanted to sort of do it in Harlem and then maybe do it both in Harlem and Brooklyn. But ultimately, Brooklyn sort of won out.
Okay. And it'll be taking place on October 9th, correct?
Yeah, the first event is October 9th. And then it's like October 9th, the 10th, the 13th, the 15th, the 16th, and the 17th.
Okay, so when our people go out to this event, I mean, of course, plays, but can they look forward to anything else besides plays?
Oh, yeah. It's a combination of a few things. Like, we have a couple of what we're calling the New Black Conversation, a.k.a. panel discussions. And the first one we're having is up actually in Harlem at the Dwyer Cultural Center, and that is going to be a conversation about sort of like the New Black Theater Movement compared to, like, the Old Black Theater Movement. Has things changed? You know, did the older folks help the younger folks? You know, that kind of conversation. And then we're having another conversation at Juilliard about art and activism within the black and the people of color communities. And they were also having another conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwrights Lynn Nottage and Susan Laurie Parks in Brooklyn on the 13th. And then we're having a music event on Friday night in Brooklyn. It's going to what we call the New Black Music, which is a combo of New Black Musical Theater and sort of just folks just coming in, singing, playing music. We have this really great musical that we presented called Morgan Street, which is written and developed by this guy named Jeremy Allen Richards and his girlfriend, Anika Noni Rose. And everyone knows Anika. She's from Dreamgirls and all that. And so they're doing this musical about this Jeremy's life, which is about a biracial kid who's adopted by a white family in Ohio, and he also is dealing with like mental health issues, and it's a comedy. Yeah, so we got that, and we have some, you know, and Issa Davis is singing, Coleman Domingo is coming out and performing some stuff. We got a couple of special guests. It's gonna be fun.
Juilliard must have been very impressed with you guys. Juilliard must have been like, wow, we're honored you're here. You know, everything that you're doing, they must have been blown away. I can only imagine. Juilliard is supposed to be like the top, you know, schools of all schools, and I hear it's a wonderful, wonderful college.
Yeah. And you know what's really great, too? They have this, I guess it's a group. They're called The Yard, which is a black student group, I guess, and they call themselves The Yard. So we're actually co-presenting the panel at Juilliard with The Yard. The arts and activism. Yeah. And the great thing about that, they're going to, I guess, we talk about activism in the artist community, but they're also going out to a couple of, not homeless centers, but soup kitchens on the same day. They're going to leave the panel discussion and then go out to an actual soup kitchen and serve food to folks. So we're trying to keep it real. You know, we're trying to be like you guys.
Oh, that's very genuine. That's very genuine, very noble thing to do, especially like the soup kitchens, and especially now that Thanksgiving is coming. That's very, very noble.
It's very noble.
It is.
No, we're excited.
Another thing, too, is another thing that I'm pretty sure that, a lot of times when people read certain things or, you know, they hear certain things, you know, they just think, you know, they think of it in one sense. You know, they don't think, okay, well, you know, it's for everybody. So, you know, for example, you know, this is called the New Black Fest. But, of course, you know, this is something, you know, for something for everybody, correct? Or, you know, for everybody to come out and see and come out and be a part of, you know, it's just not for African-American culture, correct?
Right. No, you're right. It's, you know, our mission, our original mission is that we wanted to present work from, like, all over the world, like, so the black experience all over the world. And we don't even, I mean, part of our thing, too, is, like, we don't even know what black really means anymore. So part of us at the festival is sort of like, let's look at each other. Let's, like, you know, who are we? Like, everybody's so different. Some of us speak different languages. Somebody's from, you know, they could be born in Ghana but raised in London. Somebody could be from, you know, Afro-Mexican but, you know, raised in Toronto. Like, what is our experience now? And that's part of, like, kind of what we're celebrating is sort of, you know, showing the world and each other that we're diverse and also that we are equally important as everyone else. And whatever story we're telling, you should be interested in because we are American, we're global like everybody else, you know? So,
like a rainbow of colors all over, everywhere, all over the world.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fantastic experience. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's
good.
A fantastic experience.
You must be so proud of yourself, you and you know, you and your co-artists. I mean, that's going to be amazing to, you know, bring this to life, and your family must be, you know, behind you, your friends. I mean, this is, and then you said you have this blowout experience and this wide audience, and, I mean, how can you not be blown away by that success? And like you said, to people nowadays, they give up on their dreams, so I think that's great that all of you brainstormed into this and brought it all out, because look at you now, like, you're huge, you go both of you, oh, you're huge, that's amazing, so congratulations on your success.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
That must be fantastic to look at it. That must be fantastic.
Would you, out of all the things you've done, including this, what would you say is the one thing that you're most proud of, or is this the one thing that you're most proud of doing over here in New York or anywhere else that you've been at?
I mean, honestly, and without really sort of making this cheesy, like, I really am proud of this, of the New Black Fest, because it is really about bringing people together. You know, it's not about one particular artist. It's not about any celebrity. It's just about, like, you know, everybody's sort of living in the recession, and, you know, everyone's, like, sort of, you know, dealing with Obama as the first black president, and there's all these, like, new things happening, and I feel like I've been sort of inspired and with Jay and Jocelyn to sort of do something in this really interesting time, you know, that's not just about ourselves, but it's about, like, collectively, how can we push forward as a group, you know?
Yeah.
That to me, I'm very proud of. I'm really proud of.
That's
great. That was a good question. You know, and then one thing that I'm actually happy is that, you know, it's here in Brooklyn. But, you know, a lot of times Brooklyn get a bad rap, you know?
Seriously?
I'm serious. So, you know, so I'm happy that something like this, you know, something like this is going to be in Brooklyn. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, that people can come out to see, to, you know, to get entertainment here in Brooklyn. So I'm really happy of just the location of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be great.
It's going to be a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Yes, and I live in Brooklyn, too, so I love Brooklyn. Like, you have to, usually on the weekend, you have to literally drag me out of Brooklyn fight, because I'll be fighting. Like, I don't want to leave.
Exactly. So then you also said that there's like some celebrities that's kind of involved in it as well.
Yeah, you know, there's some, you know, I guess, you know, from the outside, people would consider them celebrities, but there's some folks who people know by face and name. They're going to be participating in the festival. And in fact, though, they're taking off their celebrity hat, kicking off their celebrity shoes, and just coming in as artists. And it's great. Like I mentioned, like Anika Noni Rose is going to be a part of the event. Issa Davis, Coleman Domingo, a couple of actors from the Broadway production of Fences that was just here with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis. A couple of those actors are going to participate. So it's going to be like a real, I just feel like it's like a movement, you know, like a real movement.
It's like
really
you went from zero to top. Like, you started from scratch and look where you are now.
Yeah, exactly. And we're really excited by the plays that we brought together. We have, like, a nice variety of pieces. We have a piece called When January Feels Like Summer, which is about this sort of cross-cultural romance between an African-American man and an Indian woman, India from Asian India, and also about these two guys who are sort of homophobic, and one of them falls for this transgender guy, but they don't really know he's transgender. So this whole conversation about homophobia in the black community. You know what I mean? It's like we're really trying to, like, you know, stir up some stuff and get some conversations going, and like really looking at each other, you know, like really asking questions about who we are and how we deal with each other. And
I love suspense, so that's definitely, you know, a draw. Like, it makes you, it draws you in.
Yeah.
Most definitely. It's very interesting. Things that, you know, you don't hear regularly, not confronted on a regular. And
right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, we're very excited.
So Keisha, you know, so anytime, you know, do you ever need, you know, someone to host some of your actors, actresses, you know, you got a real hot, fresh host here, you know what I'm saying? We can host those people, interview those people there for you, okay?
Yeah, you guys should come through. You guys should come through on our we have a New Black Music Night, which I explained to you. You should come on that night, but you should also come to our New Black Open Mic, which is Sunday, October 17th. We actually have a sign-in sheet for people to sign up and come in. You can, like, sing. You can do poetry. You can just stand there and look beautiful. I mean, you can do whatever you want. We just open it up for the community. So you guys can come out that night.
Fantastic.
Some great, great
come out and promote.
I am so there. Aren't we there?
You got 5 minutes to promote.
There you go. But, you know, we definitely thank you for coming and letting everybody know. You know, everybody, you know, it definitely sounds like this October that Brooklyn, Fort Greene, Brooklyn, to be specific,
yes,
is the place to be. But, you know, we're not going to let you go anywhere, Keith, without giving us more information again on, you know, let everybody know those dates again,
okay,
the address, and any website, you know, so people know exactly how to find you and how to register.
Okay, yes, so We are the New Black Fest, and it's October 9th through October 17th. Most of the events are happening at the Brick Arts in Brooklyn on Fulton Street. You can find every bit of information from RSVPing to donating to the calendar, all of that at thenewblackfest.org, thenewblackfest.org.
All right. Well, that is it. Well, you know, you would definitely, we would definitely keep it real hot and fresh for you on Sunday the 17th. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. You better, you better please walk up to me. Please walk up to me and say something.
We will.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming by tonight. Thank you so much because, I just think it's really good for people to know, you know, how the community, you know, what's going on in the community. You know, a lot of people, they think that, you know, things are not happening, but things are happening every day, and it's good to know that, yeah, and then it's good to know that positive things are happening. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining. That was really nice, and have a good evening. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, so this is Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. That was a great interview by the co-artistic director of Keith. When was the last time we got his last name? But Keith from the New Black Fest. But what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get into a featured artist song by Maintain. And then when we come back, we're going to get back into your Facebook question of tonight, and we're going to read some more of your comments on Facebook. But this is Maintain, No Darkness Tonight.
There will be no darkness tonight, but still dim the lights. I'm trying to do this right. I don't want to argue and fight. I want to parlay. It's been a long, hard day. I just want to kick back and enjoy the six-pack and turn the celly off. I'm sick of it ringing off the hook. Hell, I might even read a book or maybe just lay back and stare at the ceiling. Because I'm constantly moving. It's a terrible feeling because I can barely rest these days. I'm moving fast. Sometimes it feels like I'm getting ready to crash. And honestly, this fucking rap shit is kicking my ass. Even though there is times I do be having a blast, but tonight I'ma relax like a champ finally, and enjoy every minute of my privacy. The night is mine and it's young still. I might just pour me a glass of wine and just chill, and take one to the head to get the mood right, and stand on the balcony under the moonlight, and let me in the moment just unite. There will not be any darkness tonight. I'm not having it.
You know what I mean? No phone, the phone is off. I don't even want to hear about no rap shit. Nothing. Lay here in silence. Hear the crickets sing. You know what I mean? Tonight is mine.
I swear most of the time it feels like I got a brain disorder. But tonight I'ma try to get my brain in order. The pressure's getting heavy and sometimes it's hard to handle it. So tonight I got the incense and the candles lit. I'ma slow down and step back it takes. Cause I be feeling like I'm running in the rabbit's race. I never thought that I'd be moving at this faster pace. It's got me feeling like a motherfucking basket case. Days are short, nights are short too. I would chill out like this a little more often, but I just can't afford to. Maybe I'll try to watch a DVD or just mellow out to an R&B CD. Or maybe unwind in my BED so I can rest in peace like I'm Eazy-E. I don't know, the night can take me anywhere, I guess. As long as I'm taking it lightly, I'm caring less. I got things to think about that I'm not gonna think about. Like this label meeting that I got in a week from now. And even though I'm hoping things go right, I would not be stressed out about it tonight. Tell them, Mike.
You're keeping it real hot and fresh with the livest host on the net that was Maintained There Be No Darkness Tonight. If only that was true. But however, this is your boy Z-Fly along with my two girls, Miss Jules and Desire. And we got a co-host, guest co-host tonight, Mr. Gemini in the place. What's up?
Hey. Before anything, I just want to say that on the newblackfest.org, if you guys want to do more than just go in and observe and mingle, can also donate and volunteer. All the contact information is on newblackfest.org. So if you guys want to do more than just that, then you can go in there.
That's what's up. Okay. All right, everybody. But we are 10 minutes down to the show. So we're going to definitely get back into the Facebook question for one last shot. So if you're just now tuning in, well, for one thing, you're late. And, you know, so the show starts at 9. If you're just not tuning in. But the Facebook question of tonight was, many women try to trap men by purposely getting pregnant. And such a deceitful act, should it turn into a legal matter against the woman, and should the man be given a choice to keep the baby or not? So before the interview, we did talk about it a little bit. We gave our comments, and we also read some comments via Facebook. So we're going to talk about it a little bit longer, and we're also going to read a few more comments. So I'll start with a comment via Facebook right now. Jessica White, she said, this is very bogus. She said, but the statement is true. It happens all the time. Matter of fact, I know a couple of girls who have done this, but there's not enough proof that it is the case. So no vote for this one. I think that's what who said earlier there's not enough proof to prove it. Was that you, Ms. Jewel?
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
Because there would be, you know, a process to prove it. So then with every, oh, that's not my baby, she did it on purpose, you know what I mean? We're going to go through this tedious task, you know, how we do it. That's what I was wondering.
Exactly, and it will get crazy after a while. Another chatter via Facebook, Antoinette Wright, she said sex intended purpose was procreation and reproduction. To have sex with someone, you take the chance of reproduction. If you do produce a child, then it is no person's right to terminate pregnancy but the mother, period. Keep it in your pants if you don't want baby drama, baby mama drama. But, you know, I think that's a little bit too easy to say these days. I mean, yeah, you know, when you have sex, you do take a chance. But if you believe that your partner, you know, being the woman, is on the pill, you know, and then she's really not because she's trying to get pregnant, and, you know, this is your girlfriend, well, you're not supposed to trust her, you know. But, you know, it's funny, you know, some people say, you know, where's the trust? And then when you trust somebody, you get burned. So you don't supposed to trust anybody.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about trust. You know, if you don't have that bond with that person and you want to go do things, you know, in a certain way, I wouldn't blame her because you shouldn't be in that situation anyway. But then again, you know, it is messed up.
Yeah.
I think trust has to be earned. I think a lot of people just give their trust right away, instantly, and that's why they get burned. So, you know, I mean, again, I've been through so many things. So in my case, for the past few years, I'm like, if you want to be with me, whether it's, you know, especially a guy, of course, but even as a friend or anybody, if you want to get to know me, you're going to have to earn it. Otherwise, I don't trust anybody.
That's funny because, you know, some people will say, you know, if you're just starting to get to know somebody, then they shouldn't have to earn it because, you know, they haven't done anything to break it. So you should trust them until they break it. So, you know,
that's not how I feel, like I said. I mean, like I said, we all go through our personal experiences, and that's mine. You want to get to know me, and then you have to earn it. I don't just give out my trust like that.
Mm. So. All right, guys. Y'all heard it. All right, Chad, we are 6 minutes down to the show, and that was your Facebook question for tonight, and thank you for all your Facebook comments. And we want to thank again the co-artistic director, Keith. He came in, he did his thing. He gave a lot of very good information on the new Black Fest that will be happening in Brooklyn, New York, Fort Greene, Brooklyn, to be exact, starting October 7th. So be sure to check that out. It's going to be great. A lot of new plays, new music, fresh talk. There's new hot that will be there on Sunday, so, you know, you can't miss that. But we are going to go ahead and close the show down. But before we do that, we definitely got to know from our very special co-host tonight, Gemini. Gemini, why exactly should you be the next Real Hot Fresh host?
I could bring a lot of ideas to the show. I was talking to you actually about live streaming. Having each one of us a live stream account. So when we're doing the show, instead of them just tuning in, they can also tune in, actually see how we look and interact with us individually. We can set up like a blog spot, do more outside of the show. I mean, like you told me that you host some events also, but you know, like a little more personal. You know, like going out somewhere, doing like little reviews and on restaurants or movies or you know, things like that. I think, I mean, it's pretty much, it's all about the interaction. And if we can expand more and do more, mingle more, I think this we can bring this show to another level.
What's up? All right. Well, everybody, you heard it from Gemini first. But we are going to go ahead and get into 10 ways you know you ghetto, and then we can shut this thing down for another week. All right, y'all. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for listening. Keep your comments coming always on Facebook, and we're gonna definitely continue to read them and respond back. But this is your 10 ways you know you ghetto for tonight. Let's get it started. Number 10, you know you ghetto if you brush your teeth in the shower.
Oh my God.
I do that sometimes.
Oh, I hate to say it, but you're ghetto.
She's
nasty.
Ew.
I said multitasking.
Oh,
ew.
Number 9, you know you ghetto if your kitchen cabinets are full of canned vegetables that you never eat. Donate those cans, people. Just give them away. Give them away. Number 8, you know you ghetto if your car is so dirty, eggs are growing on it. Do y'all get that?
Oh.
Eggs are growing on your car because it's dirty? I don't get it. Number 7, you know you ghetto if you have bags of ice in the freezer in case the ice maker quits again. Number 6, you know you ghetto if you are pushing a Walmart shopping cart full of groceries home.
No.
Well, you know, everybody don't have a car, especially here in the city. Y'all know how it is. I see people doing, yeah, they're pushing cars all the time. But you know, but you know, stores have starting to get. No, stores got really smart because now whenever you try to push it out, it stops. It locks on you. Have you noticed that? Number 5. Yeah, you know you get up if you're pushing your baby stroller across the street in bedroom slippers and you got pink hair. Mm-hmm. That's not a good look for you or the baby. Number 4, you know your landlord ghetto if the internet and cable get cut off because she didn't pay the bill. Number 3, you know you ghetto if the ice cream melts in your freezer.
Terrible.
Y'all need to cut their freezer up. Stop trying to save money. Number 2, you know you ghetto if you find a dead rat hanging out of the electric socket.
No. That's not possible.
Bro.
Look. Somebody said, I guess that's one hole he couldn't get through. And where's my drum roll?
Drum roll, please, for number 1.
Okay, I got it. Number 1, you know you get up if there's a line outside the liquor store and it ain't even open yet. Me and Miss Jules experienced that the other day. There was a lot of outside liquor store that won't even open. That is dead.
Oh my god.
Terrible.
Yeah. And I think it was at noontime, wasn't it? It was like noon.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a line.
All right, you know what I'm saying? All right, y'all, be sure to get your votes in for Gemini. Be sure to get your listens in next week on our new topic that we will be having. And always remember to look out for these Facebook and Twitter questions that we're having. We're going to leave you with Cudi Mac, Till the Sunrise. This is your boy Z-Far. I'm with the rest of my crew. We out of here. Peace.
Ciao.
Peace.
Ciao for now.
Peace.
This is Zaire.
Yeah. Dedicated to the hustlers, the grinders. Came up from the bottom of the gutter where the 50 smoked off, but everybody got a hustle.
grinding till the sun come up, getting cash, out there trying to twerk some up, move fast, cause the paper don't wait, and money's the only way for a G to be straight, and soon as I wake, I'm on a mission for guap, I ain't singing no ghetto blues, cause the hustle don't stop, remember them days, when I was flat on my ass, they used to laugh at me every time I walked past, but now I'm solidified, I'm in the street game, bonafide street dude, they ain't ever gonna change, for real. Forget being broke with no hope, no dope, so we went to the corner and sold soap, for sure. I told mama, don't mope, with our back against the ropes, I promise I won't choke. I'm getting money to the sunrise, but I ain't trying to spend my life out in one time. Bending these shoes, trying to watch your mama cry, but every morning I open my eyes, I know I gotta grind. I'm getting money to the sunrise, but I ain't trying to spend my life out in one time. Bending these shoes, trying to watch your mama cry, but every morning I open my eyes, I know I gotta grind. I'm up early in my PJs and house shoes. The early bird get the worm, so you know the rules. Money on my mind, so I couldn't sleep well. Gotta beat the competition in this game of retail.